Yeah, super excited about that story. My name is Andy, and we're so glad you're here today. Your name is? Nice to meet you. Excellent. Very good. And we just want to take a moment and recognize Apple and also her husband now, Steve. And we've been in this series called Trouble. Hello, Trouble. And as you heard, Apple experienced a lot of difficulty and trouble and pain in her life. And then she became a part of the life of this church, and her life was radically changed as she said yes to God and surrendered her life to Jesus. And so there's also something else that's happening, and I want to introduce you to Steve, Apple, and Lisa. Would you please come to the front here? Steve, Apple, and Lisa, just a beautiful, beautiful family. And we are sorry to lose them. They lost their house in the fires, and they're deciding on whether or not they should move to Sacramento. So we're going to vote on whether or not we will let them move.
That's... Well, great news, Andy. News flash.
Yes.
We're actually moving in with you.
Oh, I'll tell Kelly.
And there's more good news. We've got two beagles, and we're bringing them because we know how you love those beagles.
I say we vote you move to Sacramento. Yeah, you can leave. But in all seriousness, they have moved to Sacramento, and then we're here for the weekend as Lisa just graduated this weekend. Congratulations. She wouldn't be able to be here next week. Next week, we're honoring our graduates, and so we're having a big party here at New Vantage for all the high school graduates, but we just wanted to say goodbye and also thank Lisa. She has been a small group leader for what age? An upstreet. There you go, Lisa.
For what age?
Yeah, what age were you? You're leading a small group of girls?
Kindergarten and first grade.
So kindergarten and first grade. So the reason why your kids are doing so well and they love God is because of Lisa. So, and behave, and it's because of Lisa. So thank you, Lisa, for serving in our children's environments and also a part of Inside Out Transit and then Inside Out. Yeah. And so we're graduating you from those ministries, but find another church and then be a part of that. Just to let you know, 95% of students who serve in a local church, they find their purpose, and when they graduate, they look for a church to serve in because they found their purpose, and their purpose is to give their lives to somebody else. And so thank you for doing that. And Apple, I just your story is so painful, and yet you're always smiling. You're always happy. And why? Why are you always happy? How can you be happy with really all that loss? Yeah.
Yeah, I almost lost everything. You know, like my parents, my ex-husband, my homes here. Mm-hmm. But I never lost in God and hope in here.
Amen.
And
amen. Yeah.
Thank you. And I'm happy to be back home here in New Vintage Church.
She's home. Excellent. Thank you. This is your home. You always will belong here, and you will always be a part of our family, and we hope be a part of your family. And Steve, I'm just so grateful to you for your years of ministry and caring. Steve sat in the back row for 5 years before I met him.
It was a good seat back there, yeah.
He sat, really, he did, for 5 years, and then we finally connected, and I found out that you were going to the Philippines on your own because you saw a need of helmets and glasses in the Philippines?
Yeah, for the taxi drivers there. I mean, you know, young boys riding motorcycles, taxis, if you will, and without any protection at all, nothing. So I thought, you know, I can do something about that.
So you went on your own, and I found out that you were doing that, and I finally said, you should never do ministry alone. I asked him, how do you feel about bringing
people? Yeah, it was a life changer when Andy said, hey, would you consider taking a team to the Philippines? Like, yikes.
Hate people.
No, I'm
just kidding. No, he does it.
But, you know, it just when he asked me the question, it really resonated. It's like, yeah, you know what? I think we could do something, and did. And it was really a critical time in my life where I needed something. I needed more purpose, and that provided that. And plus, I think, you know, through all of you and all your support and all the people, you know, almost 60 people from New Vintage.
60 people from New Vintage, yeah.
Yeah,
let me show a picture here of the Philippines. And went into the schools, went into orphanages, washed teeth or cleaned teeth and brushed teeth and just loved on people for about 10 days or so.
Yeah.
There were six teams, is that right?
Yeah, six teams.
So thank you for leading in that, for caring about people across the street. Steve, Apple, and Lisa have been very, very generous in giving to the life of this church and have provided the environments that we can enjoy here. You've led ministries. He's been on the board here at the church and led in that leadership, led with the missions and also on the host team, just all over the place. So we are going to miss you dearly. And we want to give you both some gifts here. And the flowers are for Steve, and the balloons are for Apple.
He knows how I like flowers.
Yeah, how about we give the flowers to Apple, the balloons to Steve, and a special gift here with a card and some goodies inside of there. Happy graduation, Elisa. So, guys, thank you. Love you, man. Yeah. Bye, guys. Yes. You're welcome here anytime. Can they come back and visit? Is that okay or no? So we're so grateful for what you did in their lives and investing in them, and now they have been investing in others, and because they were blessed, and they started blessing other people. So I just hope that you hear that, and I just love what you did here in loving Apple and Lisa and her entire family through really the grief and the process of finding hope in Christ. So thank you, New Vintage, for your generosity. We love to give here, and there's several ways to be able to give. You have the online giving. That's the way my wife and I do it. There's the app, the New Vintage app. You have a kiosk on your phone. Also the buckets that are getting ready to come around. Whatever way you choose to fund your church, thank you. The way that you want to fund it, it's your church. And thank you for your generosity. You're sitting next to some people that are extremely generous, who love to give something out of their paycheck into a local church, because the church is not a building. It's about the people and the investment in people. It's all about people. And so, New Vintage, thank you. So if you are the ones who've invested here in this church, you took something out of your paycheck and gave it to a local church, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you haven't given here, I want to challenge you to take that little step and see what happens. See what God does in you. Generous people are happy people. And if you're not happy, try generosity. See what happens. Give it a shot. There just something happens in your heart when you start taking a step of faith and trust God and give it to something bigger and beyond yourself, not only for life change here on this earth, but for eternity. And I'm just so grateful to all of you for what you're doing here. So let's bow our heads and pray. God, thank you for this opportunity to be able to give back to you a little bit of what you've given to us. And your very nature and your very character is a giving God. It's a gracious God. And you said, for God so loved the world that you gave. And so, God, you have given us your imprint to be generous, to be givers. Because you first gave to us, now we are simply responding to what you initiated and did for us by being generous towards us. So, God, today we're grateful, and we know that grateful people are generous people. And because of that, we're extremely grateful and extremely generous. Continue to create these environments in Wombaland, Upstreet, Transit, and Inside Out. And right now, Lord, as Transit and Inside Out are meeting and finishing the year and getting ready for summer, you would use this summer season right now as they prepare their own hearts and as you teach them and grow them and heal them and give them the strength that they need to do whatever it is and face the difficulties of life, and they're trying to figure it out. So, God, I'm grateful for the volunteers who are in that room right now who are investing, adults investing into children's lives, into our students' lives. Every student is only one adult away from wisdom and care and love, and so that they can make the wise choice. And so, God, we lift them up to you now. And we thank you for all these gifts and use them that others would know what a great, good, awesome, compassionate God you are. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Hello, trouble. It's been a while since we last met. But I know you're still out there. You're looking for me. You wish I'd forget you. Don't you trouble. Going down the river, Gabriel. Put you put on the line and see. Gabriel, don't you blow that trumpet until you hear from me. Ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body. Perhaps it is you that has forgotten me. Perhaps I need to come find you. Remind you who I am.
Yeah, I want to be one of those guys, don't you? I need that Gerber knife because you never know when you might be stuck underneath a boat in Alaska. And you need to get yourself out. You never know. But we do know that all of us will face trouble, will we not? Has anybody not ever faced trouble? If you haven't faced trouble yet in your past, just to let you know, you'll be so glad you came to church here today. You're going to be facing it soon or someplace or sometime in the future. And what we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks, and we're finishing this series this week on trouble, what is that purpose of the trouble? But what we've been discovering is what God is doing in it and how to face it. And has most of us have trouble, but we do not know how to respond to the trouble that comes our way. The way that we respond to the trouble, or the way that we respond to conflict, or the way that we respond to difficulties probably came from the way that you watch your mom and your dad or your grandpa or a grandma or an uncle or an aunt or the people around you somewhere, how they responded to trouble. And sometimes it was probably healthy and very good. And there's probably a very good chance that many of you did not learn how to respond to the trouble that comes your way. And some of you may still be responding like a two-year-old, and don't we all love two-year-olds? But it's okay for a two-year-old to not be happy when they get a no. Has anybody seen a two-year-old when somebody said no to a two-year-old? Isn't that lovely? Isn't that wonderful? But it's kind of weird or awkward when you're 45 years old and you're still responding like a two-year-old. And so God wants to teach us on how to respond to the troubles that come our way, and how God wants to, you know, use those troubles that we may experience. I don't know if you've ever had this problem here, but maybe some of you have, you know, gone through life and you've tried something new and you ended up there. Ever felt like that? Excuse me, that whenever you're trying to jump or you're trying to do something new or trying to do a flip and you end up on your face. And so none of us want trouble. None of us love to feel that right there. None of us want to be there, but God is using it. And so if you have been here for the last 5 weeks, I want to encourage you to go online and to listen into the last four talks, because we've been talking about how to respond to trouble, the trouble that comes our way. We can say, hello, trouble, and I know what to do with you now. I'm not going to be a victim here. I'm not going to let you conquer me. And I know what is going on here, and I know that this is not going to overpower me. And so those are the last 4 weeks. Today, we're going to be finishing the series, and then next week we're looking into a series called David. And David was the king of Israel, who was a warrior, a fighter, a lover, a leader, a man after God's own heart. His story is our story. Just an amazing, amazing story that we don't want to miss. So make sure you come back next week. But to summarize, what we've been discovering is this. And in trouble, we need to begin to receive trouble as a, everybody, what's that word, as a gift. And we've been looking at trouble and saying, you know what, maybe we've been looking at trouble in the wrong way. And God wants us to begin to look at trouble as a gift. Can we all say that? That we need to begin to receive trouble as a, everybody, a gift with a purpose and a promise, with a purpose and a promise. And we've been talking about the promises that this gift offers us, that God allows trouble to happen to grow us up, to mature us. We also know that the Apostle Paul, that we'll look into here, wrote a big part of the Bible, and he prayed to God and said, God, get rid of this thorn in my flesh. We're not really sure what it was that he had, but he was struggling. Some people, some scholars think that he was going blind. Others believe that maybe he had epilepsy. Some scholars believe that maybe he had malaria. But whatever it was, he also could not hardly walk. And scholars believe that if there were wheelchairs, that Paul would be in a wheelchair, but he could barely walk with a cane. And he went around the Mediterranean rim three times in his missionary journeys and planting churches and just did amazing things. And he could barely walk. So we're not sure what it was, but God said no to him. And he learned the secret of peace and how to deal with trouble. And so we looked at all that. God wants to mature us, that God wants to give us the grace and the power to be able to deal with the troubles that we have. I want to look at the last one, the purpose. The purpose of the troubles that we have. Now, sometimes when we see a trouble, there's a difficulty, there's a problem, and all of you are thinking of something, you're like, are you kidding? It's a gift. What do you mean? I could never see that as a gift. How can you ever look at that death or the cancer or that problem or that divorce or a lost child or a prodigal child or whatever it may be as a gift? But there is a purpose. And sometimes we will never know the purpose of that trouble here on this side of eternity. But there is something there that God wants to teach us, and the purpose may not be complete, may not understand it completely, but there is a purpose for all of us. And I'm going to give the bottom line right off the bat, and here it is. The bottom line is this. We do not want, there you go. Fellowship of the suffering. In other words, when we understand our suffering, there is a fellowship. There is an understanding of the suffering that those who've suffered are uniquely qualified to comfort those who are, everybody who are, suffering. Exactly. That in suffering and have suffered are uniquely qualified. And I know this as a pastor. I have been in the hospital rooms, and when somebody is there for their last breath. I have been in the situations and walked through people with people in the cancer or some major difficulties or major death or major loss or tragedy in people's lives. I've been there because as a pastor, people in the midst of trouble or in the midst of the problem, they call the pastor and they're like, "Pastor, we need you. We're at the hospital, or this is going on, or please come to our house immediately. There isn't much time." And when I walk in, I do walk in with some authority because I am the pastor, and the pastor knows the Bible, and I know what verses to read, and I also know what prayers to say, and I'm a professional prayer, and so we don't know how to pray, so let's have the pastor come over and pray, and I can do that. I have that authority. But when I do not or have not walked in that specific suffering or situation, I do not have the authority of compassion or comfort that when somebody walks, happens so many times, that person has lost someone, walked through cancer, lost someone through cancer, had a problem, lost a job. When they walk into the room, there is no question that that person has authority. They've walked through that difficulty or through that trouble. And people look at that person and go, oh, and they don't need to say much. They can say, I know how you feel. And they do, and they walked through it. When somebody has experienced suffering, they are uniquely qualified to, what's the word? Comfort. They're uniquely qualified to comfort those who are suffering or in the middle of it. So today I want to just take a few minutes. What is the purpose of the suffering? Why would God allow these things to happen? And the writers of the Bible, they bring these words to us to help us because they say that. Go ahead and throw that up. And in 1 Corinthians 1:8, it says this. We do not want you to be, what's the word there? Uninformed. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles that we experience. In other words, we want to help you learn what is the purpose and what are God's promises in facing trouble. And we need to be informed about it because the Apostle Paul is writing to this church in Corinth, And he's looking at him and going, I'm not really sure you guys know how to deal with the troubles that you're facing. I'm not really sure you know how to respond to those things. I'm not sure you really understand why these things are happening, what the purpose of them are, what are the promises that God gives us in the midst of them. And you need also understand that the writers in the Bible, as they share their story with us, they share their experience. These are not coming from people who are high up in a university somewhere in some ivory tower and some philosophical ideas, and somebody's feeding them grapes and they're thinking of some ideas. I mean, the people who are writing this stuff now help us and help every single one of us in this journey of life, and life is complicated. And it is difficult, and we're trying to figure it out, and we want to do it right. We all do. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want to do it right. And so the Apostle Paul, he writes down, and many of the authors write it down, their experience. And you need to understand, there was no conflict for them to believe in a good, loving, compassionate God and the suffering that they were experiencing. I mean, the ones who bring us the scriptures here and write their experience down, they experience incredible hardship. Many of them were martyrs or killed. Many of them just experienced difficulty and struggle as they wrote it. And there was no conflict for them that God is good and God loves me and God's in the middle of this and I am experiencing trouble and difficulty. We Americans in the evangelical church especially, somewhere we got the idea that if God is good, I should not ever experience any kind of trouble. And if I pray to God, God should answer my prayers immediately. Like if I pray Monday morning, God should answer it by noon at the latest. Because doesn't God know who I am? 1 o'clock, maybe 2 o'clock at the latest. And somewhere we in the evangelical church, we in America, we got this idea, this notion that if I pray to God and God doesn't answer, maybe it's because I didn't have enough faith in it and it's dependent on something I need to do, or there's some sin, or there's, you know, God doesn't love me, or maybe there is no God. And the writers are saying no. No, I mean, the two of them are not mutually exclusive. The two of them, you can have a good, loving, compassionate God, and you can have trouble in this world. Actually, that is the reality, that actually God is using the trouble and doing something in me and through me, and he's growing me up, and there's something happening here that God is using this for something greater than I know and what's going on or from what I can see. And so as we look at them, it's kind of like I hear the argument, well, if there is a good, loving God, how does a good God let bad things happen to good people? It's sort of like saying, you know, I asked my dad for, you know, ice cream for dinner every night and mom, and they said no. And because they said no, they're mean. So I don't believe my mom and my dad exist. Well, trust me, we exist. We're there. And we told our kids no for ice cream for dinner every night, just every other night. But anyway, anything to keep them happy. But because God says no, it doesn't mean that there is no God. Does that make sense? And so the Apostle Paul then, he goes down and says, what is the purpose then? Why is it that we're going through these things? And there is a secret that God wants us to begin to understand and experience and realize, and I believe, you know, begin to apply to our lives, that if we understand this one little secret, the Apostle Paul said, that if we can do this and get this, that there is a peace and a joy in the midst of the trouble that we experience. And so the Apostle Paul says this. He says in 2 Corinthians 1:3, he says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of, everybody, the Father of compassion. Are you like, what? The Father of compassion? Paul, I mean, all the beatings, in 12 chapters later, Paul is praying to God, saying, God, get rid of this thorn in my flesh. I'm blind, or I have malaria, or I have epilepsy, or I can't walk, or heal me from this. God, I want to do more. And God said no to him. God said no. And Paul is saying, the God who is full of compassion, I can say this, God has compassion, God is loving, and the God of all comfort. Even though I'm experiencing trouble, God also is a God of compassion and of love and of comfort. The word comfort that he uses here is not, oh, sweetheart, I'm sorry. That's the worst. You know, I'm so sorry you're going through. You know, you'll get over it. It's not that kind of comfort. The comfort that he's talking about here is a comfort of, I want to give you courage. I am here with you. I am going to support you. I feel your pain. I want to empower you in this difficulty and in this trouble. This is the kind of comfort. I'm going to walk this with you. And then he says, who, in verse 4, who comforts us in all trouble. Aren't you so excited that God comforts us in our trouble? I mean, isn't that what you pray for when you have trouble? When you have trouble, what do you pray for? Be honest. What do you pray for? Go away. God, I don't want this anymore. What do you pray for when you're in trouble? Fix it. Yeah, fix him. Fix husband, Lord. You know, when you're in trouble, you're like this right here, aren't you? I mean, you're stuck. I mean, what is your prayer if you're stuck there? What do you do? I mean, when you're stuck in the toilet of life, what do you pray for? What do you think about? I mean, when you cut your hand, okay, maybe we should take the picture off, but when you cut your hand, I mean, how did you end up there? I love it that I think mom already gave son some soap to probably ease things out. But anyway, I mean, there is fear there. There is like, how do I get out of this? I'm stuck here. And the prayer or the call of this child is, God, mom, dad, get me out of this. When we're in trouble, that is our prayer. That's all we're thinking about. And when we get into trouble, it's amazing how selfish we get. Because when you cut your hand, what do you think about when you cut your hand? Help yourself. It hurts. Stop the bleeding. Exactly. Get me a Band-Aid or we need to get some stitches on here. We become very selfish when we are wounded or in trouble. And this is a little side note, but it's free. But hurting people hurt people. And when people are hurting somebody else, it's because they are hurting themselves. So when you're stuck in the toilet like that, he's screaming, he's crying, he's swearing. I don't know what that kid is doing, but you're thinking about yourself, and you're angry at everybody else and angry at life because you're hurting. And the Apostle Paul, don't miss this. He says, when you're stuck on the toilet of life, you're never going to forget that. But anyway, when you're stuck in the toilet of life, there is a secret here, and don't miss this, of what God's purpose is in the midst of the trouble. He says, who comforts us in all our trouble, and what's the key word at there? So that we, what? Can get out of it, so that we can fix it, so we don't have to deal with it, so that what? We, what's the word? We can. Stay with me. God gives us the troubles, and he comforts us in the midst of the troubles so that we what? We can. Let's all say that with our outdoor voices. So that we can. Can what? What do you mean can? So that we can, rest of the verse, comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. Here is the secret and the purpose. Don't miss this. This is a big idea. That God allows trouble to happen in your life, not to take it away, but to work through us and in us. And God is doing something in us, and we've talked about that, growing us up, helping us to mature, helping us to not be a two-year-old crying, but help us to respond so that God comforts us so that we can then comfort others. I mean, let's just put it this way. God comforts us to comfort others. Why does God comfort us? It's not a trick question. Why does God comfort us? Why does God comfort us? To comfort others. That God comforts us, not a trick question, to, why does God comfort us? To comfort others. That let me put it this way. There's another way to put it. He says, God comforts us through others to comfort others. Let's all say it together. That God comforts us through others to comfort others. In other words, God comforts us and allows us to experience the pain that when somebody walks into the hospital room or somebody had a prodigal child or somebody had a loss or they lost their job or they went through a problem, went through a difficulty, they lost their home in the fire, that the best person, when they got comfort and then they see somebody else who lost something or are in trouble with something, they then go and comfort who? Others, those people, exactly. That the level of their suffering determines the level of compassion then that they have for others. That if you haven't experienced that kind of suffering, if you haven't experienced that trouble, it is difficult. We can try, but God comforts us in those troubles so that the purpose of is that someday God wants to use our growth, our maturity, our experience, our healing to then comfort others. Now, don't miss this. I mean, this is the big idea, that you and I will never know or understand what the purpose of the trouble was, don't miss this, until we comfort somebody else. In the moment that we receive comfort, why did that happen? Is there a good God? I don't understand. What was the purpose of all that? And then I see somebody who needs comforting in the thing that I just went through or went through somewhere in my past. When I comfort them, the comforter tends to feel and experience the peace of God and understands the purpose of what you went through. And it's a weird thing. But then in that moment, you go, God, thank you for that trouble. Although it was a living hell, I now know that you're going to use that so that I can comfort somebody else. And there is a peace, there is a joy, there is an understanding, there is a comfort and a compassion that nobody else can give because you went through it and you do understand. Does that make sense? That's why, that is a purpose. And so then he goes on and he says this in verse 5, for just as we share abundantly, this is a hard verse to understand here, so let me translate. Just as we share abundantly, a lot, in the suffering of Christ, that Christ suffered on this earth, that he felt pain, he felt hunger, he was tired, Jesus was thirsty, he was killed on a cross, he experienced suffering, pain, suffering, family suffering, rejection, everything that you've ever experienced, everything you've ever experienced, Jesus experienced it here on this earth. And we share in that suffering, that your suffering and my suffering, Jesus shares in that, has compassion with that. Don't miss this. Abundantly in the suffering of Christ, so also, purpose statement, therefore, our comfort abounds, there's more, through Christ. Because we've experienced the suffering, a deep, deep suffering of Christ, therefore now we abound or have extra suffering. In other words, I mean, the translation here to make it simple is this. Our capacity to comfort is determined by the degree to which we have suffered. That when somebody has gone through cancer and they talk to somebody else who's gone through cancer, it's very different than me sitting and talking to them about cancer. Who best could comfort somebody who's going through cancer? Not a trick question. That person who had experienced it themselves. So friends, I want you to be thinking about, what is it that you've gone through in this life that God doesn't waste or hurt? He's going to use it to help somebody else. And then just to land this plane, this is what he says. And if we are distressed, it is for your comfort. That if we go through trouble, I'm okay with it because at some point God is going to use this for your comfort and your salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance. You can get through it. I'm with you. You're going to make it. Of the same suffering. So then he says, and he finishes, and our hope for you is firm. It's strong because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, and we're sharing in the sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. In other words, because we've shared comfort and we supported each other, we've comforted each other, we've gone through something together, I now also then can comfort somebody else. And the bottom line is this, is that God never wastes a hurt. Whatever you've gone through, whatever difficulties you've had, whatever trouble you have faced and gone through, and God didn't take it away, but you walked through it with dignity and patience, and through that experience, you saw the areas of immaturity, you saw the areas that you needed to grow in, you saw the areas that God was beginning to heal you, you saw the areas that God was beginning to show you, hey, we need to work on that, and there's a wound there that we need to, you know, heal, and God wants to heal our wounds and comfort us in that so that then we can comfort somebody else. God never wastes a hurt. I mean, the bottom line is this right here. Comfort those who need comforting with the comfort you received. Let's all say it together. Here we go. Comfort those who need comforting with the comfort you received. As you've experienced the comfort from others, from one another, that's why the church exists. That's why Jesus said, I will build my church. The church is not a building. It's not walls. It's not, you know, a location. The church, the literal translation, people doing life together, comforting one another, caring for one another, loving one another, and helping each other. Because what I have experienced in this life, now God wants to use it to comfort somebody else, because there is trouble in this life. What is the purpose? That God never wastes a hurt. And he's going to use you. He's going to use you to comfort somebody else. And in that moment, it is the most precious, it is the most priceless moment when you're comforting somebody else who's going through a difficult time that you already went through. I'm telling you, for the comforted and comforting, that God just there's a peace there. God is using me for something greater, and there was a purpose. I want to invite somebody up to the front, somebody that you have probably seen, and he shared his story here before when we baptized him, but I love what he's doing, and his name is Gerard. Gerard, are you here? Where are you, Gerard? There he is, Sarah. He's the man. Welcome, Gerard. Glad you're here, man.
Welcome.
Well, you have seen Gerard in the greeting. I don't know if you know this, but Gerard comes down here during the week and helps clean up and get some things set up. Gerard is here early in the morning, blowing our campus, getting things ready, setting all the tables and chairs up outside. And then you get some bulletins and you greet people and you welcome people. But your story, what we see you now is a beautiful, strong man, yeah, but...
I've had my troubles, though.
You've had your troubles.
Yes, and although I've had great jobs, I've encountered a lot of abuse and drugs, and that took me to lose morals and values, and it landed me in jail quite often. From 2008, I spent in and out of jail, and finally didn't know what to do. I graduated, of course, and hit a state term, and now I'm looking at a state term, and as scared as it was to go to prison, I was more scared to leave because of the people I found in prison who was into Jesus and Christ. And
so you found God in prison?
I did.
And that seemed safe, and so you're like, I don't want to leave prison.
Because of my sinful ways, yes.
Yeah.
Because I was...
So, I mean, you're a smart guy, you're an accounting guy, you know numbers, and you worked in the business corporate world, and then drugs and alcohol, it's easy to take a left turn.
Very easy, and
yeah.
It's hard to get out of it, and the only way out of it is through Christ, of course, and instead of blaming him, why, I should have been thanking him, not getting what I deserved.
And so eventually they kicked you out of prison.
Upon my release, yes.
Yeah.
I was out 3 weeks, and I didn't know what to do because of my sinful nature, and I knew what I was capable of doing enough. But the Redwood Gospel Mission took me in and found even a closer relationship with Christ and allowed me to come to church here, and not only that, but I've also been able to give back, and they've employed me there where I can also give back to people that...
Well, and I asked you, why didn't you go back into the corporate world? Why didn't you work a business You're like, no, I want to work at the Redwood Gospel Mission. And I was like, that didn't make any sense to me at all.
And it was more where I wanted to give back to people that needed me, as well as I needed them because of the troubles I've had, and I'm sure I was able to.
And I hope
others.
People hear that. Yeah, you want to go and help others where you were before.
Yes.
And so I'm just amazed at how when you receive a gift, you turn right around and give the gift. So you were comforted, and then you turn right around and then comfort somebody else.
And that's the best gift, because coming here to New Vintage, I was well-loved when I first got here, but no matter who I was or what I was, they've accepted me and loved me for who I am. Hmm. And that's what kept me coming back here.
Wow.
And I'm able to give that same back to them as well.
So as you felt comforted, you felt accepted here, you felt loved,
yes.
Like, okay, I want to give that. You're here early, you're setting up, you're taking care of God's house and God's people,
yes.
And then you're greeting people and welcoming people, and because you were welcome, so you're giving back what you received.
Exactly, and that's also
And so you're doing the same thing at the Redwood Gospel Mission.
Yes, I am, and even though I try to meet them where they're at, the guests as well as the program members, I meet them where they're at and try to comfort them where they're at.
Yeah.
Because I know I've been there.
You've been there, and you know that suffering.
Yes.
So as you have suffered, now you are able to comfort those who suffer. Well, Gerard, I just want to say thank you. I just, people, you see him in the front handing out a bulletin, but Gerard's doing more than handing out a bulletin. He wants you to feel welcome because he felt welcome, and he's comforting people not only in our church, but you're comforting people at the Redwood Gospel Mission.
Yes.
So your level of suffering that you've experienced, now you're able to have compassion to those who are in the same place. And so thank you for not running away. Thank you for, gosh, turning that around and giving other people hope.
Yes, and it's all because Christ. It's nothing
Amen.
I'm doing. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Let's give Gerard a hand. Thank you, man. Thank you.
Appreciate
it, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to ask the finish our series with a song, and it's a song of Anchor of Peace, and I love the word picture. Let me have the band come on out. Yep, come on. And before they sing, and oh, here they are, I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment and think about the trouble that you've had, and some of you don't have to think very long, and it might have happened yesterday, or it might have been 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And for some of you right now, this is a very painful moment in thinking of that trouble, that pain, that difficulty. But that's the exact same thing. That's the thing that God wants to use to comfort others. Maybe you still need comforting, and maybe you need to find somebody to help comfort you and come alongside you and say, I need to give you a roadmap. This is what I did. This is how I walked through that. This is how God gave me the strength to get through that. And maybe there's still some healing that needs to happen there. Some of you maybe need to get some counseling. Maybe get in a small group. We have a thing called Starting Point. You have questions. I mean, we have a lot of different environments and different places to help come alongside and comfort you. What I'm doing most of the time is when I hear somebody's trouble, I file that away and say, I need to connect this person with that person because they are the two best people to connect with each other because that person understands that trouble. Like nobody else. They can do better ministry than me, and I've been to seminary school. So I want you now to think about the trouble that you've been in and begin to think and realize that God wants to use that trouble to comfort somebody else. As you have been comforted, use that comfort that you've received somebody else. God wants to use you and do ministry with the people around you. God, I lift up every person right now, and there is an anchor of peace in the midst of the storm, and it's you. And so, God, as we get ready to sing the song and close the series, God, help us to realize that there is a purpose with every problem we've ever had, and you want to use us. And, God, I pray for healing in this church. I pray for peace in this church. I pray for the brokenness. But, God, you've brought us together for a reason, so that we can comfort one another as you have comforted us. It's not a gift for us to keep, but to give away. So, God, open our eyes to those who are in need and have problems around us. It's not a problem. God, that's exactly why you put us in relationship with them, so that we can comfort one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you please stand with me? Please stand.